This is the American dream, time-saving superhighways.
It's the crown jewel of our transportation system.
Gee whiz!
The whole interstate highway system over the next two decades is going to need to be replaced. But there is no possible way the current Highway Trust Fund could begin to do that project.
At the end of July, Congress is scheduled to pass a new highway transportation bill. About the best case scenario we can imagine is that it will be something like a $275 billion monster covering 6 years. Even more likely is a worser case scenario, which would be yet another temporary patch to try to plug up the National Highway Trust Fund, which has been essentially empty for years. Bob Poole has been working on this problem for 25 years as director of Reason Foundation's Transportation Policy Program. He testified in front of Congress about this just last month.
Bob, this is for you.
Bob, thanks for joining us and talking to us
about it. Thanks very much.
So if we lived in a sane world, a Bob Poole-run world, what would be two or three things that a transportation bill would include?
Well, for the current situation, this is what I told the House Ways and Means Committee, first thing they should do is to reinforce rather than undercut the user pays principle. When we originally created the Federal Highway Trust Fund, it was entirely paid for by per gallon fuel taxes that people paid, and the sole purpose of it was to build the interstate highway system. Over time, of course, that's a nice flow of revenue. Congress kept, every time they reauthorized the program and the taxes, they thought of more things it could do. So it's become, over the years, a kind of a general transportation public works program.
Including for things that had nothing to do with highways.
Yeah, nothing to do with highways, like bike trails and ferry boats and everything, sidewalks. And so the state DOTs have become dependent on it. And it's a big part of their budgets.
It's really only about 6% of the total $50 billion. It's actually going to build or rebuild major highway and bridge projects around the country. I mean, I think that is a complete distortion of what the program was set up to be. And
it's a $50 billion program today with $40 billion worth of gas tax revenue. So the patch they're talking about is always coming up with some kind of general fund money to supplement what's in the trust fund so they don't have to cut the spending. So the first thing I told them was using general fund money undercuts the user pays principle. It really is the best safeguard we have because if the money that is user pays is exempt from budget cuts, it's pristine, it's safeguarded. The more they undercut that principle, the more they make it a crap game of how much money there's gonna be. So cut to the chase and restore it to being a user pays system. That means, of course, either raise the gas tax, which we generally don't favor, or cut the size of the program. So my number two recommendation was, you've got $40 billion worth of user revenues, you've got to make it a $40 billion program. Because there's not any political support, really, for raising the gas tax. And that means setting priorities. Given that this is a federal program, it should not be an all things to all people program, they should be refocusing it on the interstate commerce functions, which was the original rationale for having a federal tax and a federal program. And let the states recover the idea they're responsible for all the other roads and things. And if they want to do things like sidewalks, well, that's their problem. It should not be Congress's problem.
And so that's in the beautiful Bob Poole world that we don't yet quite live in, in the lived-in reality of Congress. What are we likely to see? How is this bill going to stick us with yet more?
Well, I don't see any likelihood of a six-year bill emerging this year. And nobody seriously does either.
Now, I mean, Republicans...
There's all kinds of posturing about
Republicans,
this.
Last I looked, hold both branches of Congress.
That's right.
Haven't they had time to think about this?
Oh, they think about it. But all they've done the last few times is come up with short-term, they reauthorized the last time for 2 years, and that expired last September. So we're now almost a year, in a few months it'll be a year of temporary extensions. They're going to almost certainly do another temporary extension, probably till the end of this year, coming up somehow with enough general fund money from somewhere to hold it over so that the spending doesn't have to get cut between now and the end of the calendar year.
It's just another temporary solution to a long-term problem that doesn't solve the problem. Am I not correct in that analysis?
I agree. That's my assessment, certainly.
They're still going to have the same problem next year. If they want to do any kind of a serious bill, where is the money going to come from if they don't cut the spending to match the size of the revenue?
Describe briefly what are some of the more ridiculous places they found money to kind of patch over the Highway Trust Fund.
They did something called pension smoothing. They changed the rules about tax deductibility of pension spending. I mean, it's actually a stupid thing that makes the pension systems that are tax exempt less sound, which is a problem in general already. They're not very sound. But it gives them a short-term budgetary saving on paper, plus little other things they have fudged. There's a fund as part of the Highway Trust Fund called LUST, Leaking Underground Storage Tanks. It's a tiny piece of it, but there's enough money there. They took the money out of that and put it into regular
highways. They used LUST money?
They used LUST money.
Fill the gap?
Part of the gap.
This is terrible.
But they've used up most of these things. I mean, they can't repeat them, so they're getting more and more desperate. Now what they're looking at, and even our good friend, longtime Reason reader Paul Ryan, the chairman of House Ways and Means, is seriously interested in some kind of repatriation of U.S. firms' overseas profits that give them some kind of a break on the tax if they bring the money back and use that, at least a big chunk of that
which
money.
Which has nothing.
It has absolutely nothing
with the interstate commerce.
And so I have a lot of respect in general for Paul Ryan, but the very first thing I said was basically counter to that by saying, you know, you should not be doing any more bailouts like this. You should be reinforcing the user pays, not undercutting it further.
What are we losing besides sanity in approach to basic budgeting here? What is the interstate highway system losing as a result
yes.
of the way that we do this?
Well, the interstate highway system started in 56. Most of the rest were opened in the 70s. All of them were designed with a 50-year service life. That means if you properly maintain the pavement over the years, it will last 50 years before it has to be ripped up and replaced. And what is that going to cost? So the whole interstate highway system over the next two decades is going to reach and exceed 50 years life and need to be replaced, basically. And also, a lot of corridors don't have enough lanes, and so forth. I did a study, a Reason Foundation study, 2 years ago that estimated, using prudent conservative calculations, about $1 trillion net present value of a 20-year program to rebuild the whole system. Other estimates are higher. But there is no program, no identified funding source, and no possible way the current, as structured, Highway Trust Fund could begin to do that project. So the other thing that I recommended to the Ways and Means Committee was that Congress needs to bite the bullet and allow the states to use toll financing to start reconstructing and modernizing the interstate system. It's an incredibly valuable resource. It's the crown jewel of our transportation system. And it's going to start falling apart if we don't have a major effort that's going to rebuild it and modernize it.
And so the federal government right now is an obstacle for that.
It's an obstacle because when they passed the Interstate Highway Program, they put in a ban on using tolls, except on the ones that were grandfathered in, like the Pennsylvania Turnpike, because they were already there.
You leave or enter this superhighway at toll gates.
But any place else in the country, it's illegal to use toll finance to reconstruct them. For whatever reason, but that's an obstacle.
Mr. Poole, I see you're a big fan of tolls. And I got to tell you, folks back home in Texas most likely drive you off the road.
Part of the problem is that the toll roads, like the Pennsylvania Turnpikes, have been turned into cash cows by the legislatures and politicians in those states. They don't charge just tolls that are enough to properly maintain and reconstruct. They use the money for all kinds of other things. So you have opposition, therefore, from AAA and from the trucking industry to any further expansion of tolling. So my other part of the recommendation is that Congress, if they're going to do this, they have to put conditions on it so that the tolls would only be pure user fees. Money could not be spent one penny on anything except the capital and operating costs of the rebuilt interstates. And that would have to be guaranteed at the federal level and at the state level.
Well, one day we will live in a Bob Poole transportation world.
I hope so. My book, I hope, will be out next year outlining how to get to that world.
Thank you for toiling all these years and for explaining the latest to us, Bob Poole. For Reason TV, I'm Matt Welch.